four chalitza. So it's either only an asay or an asay and a lav. But there's no miso. So that's why it's taka very difficult. Why should they give miso over here by tom? Yeah, if you say like his Rishon, like the Rosh, is okay. If you say like the Gemara says, why don't you give me some mamish, then you have difficulty. So the Mefarshim say that the Gabi B'nei Noya, the Gemara has a call, as a Rosh, and Zuri Misosim, that if a guy violates any Avera, that he's not supposed to violate, he right away gets Misa. Since she violated the din of Yivama Shezin, so I said it was Misa. The question is, Nimana Shafta, what do you treat it? You treat it like a Bas Noya, so then there's no din of Yivama Vashuk, you treat it like Israel, so then there's no. But there's no miso, so that's why it's taka very difficult. Why should they give miso over here by tom? Yeah, if you say like his Rishon, like the Rosh, is okay. If you say like the Gemara says, why don't you give me some mamish, then you have difficulty. So the Mefarshim say that the Gabi B'nei Noya, the Gemara has a call, as a Rosim Zuri Misosim, that if a guy violates any Avera, that he's not supposed to violate, he right away gets miso. Since she violated the din of Yivama Shezin, so I said it was Misa. The question is, Mimana Shafta, what do you treat it? You treat it like a Bas Noya, so then there's no din of Yivama Vashuk. You treat it like Israel, so then there's no Misa. So we give it both kumis. I'm tied to the sas. The Peladik is a very shver parsha. What the Rosh says is, I'll be true to Shalmita. That Osiyot is Isar, it means
she should be
Bas Koin,
be
Well, Bas Koin Shezin says only if she's married. If she's single, Bas Koin Shezin says doesn't get any easy. Yeah. It doesn't change. Very shvere, very shvere pash. Then it's also shvere, the Rebellion Mizrahi has a famous kash, and he gives a very shvach teretz. It's not always gehalten l'aloch, it's very shvere. It's tam a peladik in you. The Pasuk says, what do you mean she was a Bas Koin? Who was she? Tomar. It says she was a daughter of Shem. So it says regarding shame, Buhu Kohen Lekelo Yom. So it says Buhu Kohen. So the Chacham say, who? He was a Kohen, but his children were not Kohen. So the children were not Kohen. So his daughter's not a Bas Kohen.
It's also the fact that Bas Kohen is not so much as the fact that she has a Kedusha.
So that's what the Mizrahi answers. Rebellion Mizrahi on Chumash, as commentary Rashi. He says, Bas Kohen. She doesn't have to be a Kohenist. As long as her father's a Kohen, even though he was a Kohen, but his children didn't get Kohuna, but the father was a Kohen, so therefore she is a Bas Kohen. That's what the Mizrahi says on Chumash. So the portion is, it's against a Mishnah. The one at the end of Sanhedrin quotes a Mishnah, where it says, Beferish not so, that if the Kohen has a daughter who's a Chalola, or she's Nifsalom and Akunas, and the daughter is Mazana, she doesn't have the din of Shreifa. It's not enough if the father's a Kohen.
That's because she's out of the family, because she's a Chalola.
Yeah.
So therefore, you say if a Chalal wouldn't get Seifa. However, a Bas Koyim who's not Mufka from a family, so she...
Why is she not Mufka? Because no member of the family carries over the Kedusha's curse. Didn't have been
in Truman, then you didn't have to take her out of the house.
The old parish is a shver parish. Anyway, but Yosef Hatzadik is the main lesson of this Kedusha. The Torah writes the story that we should realize that it's a tremendous Nisan. You know, an Arab art.
Art?
Did I hear art? In Arab art, they have, I don't think they teach that in this university. Arab art? They have a very common theme. They have a very common theme of showing pictures of the women. There's a medrash that says, we don't know if the medrash originated by the Arabs or by the Jews, but it's found in Jewish midrashim now. There's a Sefer Yosha, not by the Rabbeinu Tam. There's a Sefer Yosha that has a long medrash about Yosef with Paiti Pharaoh's wife, exactly what was going on there. All the details. What was going on there? What did she want and what did she offer him and so on? Long, long, long marriage. It starts by Yosef, then it goes back to Chumash, goes to Mostor. It starts with the story with Yosef. You know, like the modern movie, sexy movie. So it starts with that marriage to describe what did she want from him, what did he offer her, and what was the negotiation between the two of them. So the marriage tells a story and it has parallels in Arab literature, so that's why it's very suspicious, because it's a very late marriage. It's suspicious whether the origin of this medrash comes from the Arabs or from the Jews. The medrash describes the way Potiphar's wife is telling all of her girlfriends, all the other great wives of the Egyptian ministers, that how attractive, how handsome her slave is and how she wants to be with him and so on and so forth. And they said they'd like to meet the guy. They'd like to also have Anoa looking at him. She's chalashing to look at him. So the letter says the way she gave them esrogim to eat. She gave them esrogim to eat, and they were all sitting and cutting their esrogim with knives, and then she called in her slave Yosef, and Yosef came in, They were so chalashing from his beauty, they all cut their fingers with their knives because they couldn't pay attention to cutting the sword. So that's a common theme in Arab art. They have pictures of women sitting around cutting their fingers with knives, looking at a man. And that's supposed to be the picture of Yosef, with all of the sheikhs around him who are chalashing from his beauty. That's a fact. It's a fact. It's not a fact that Yosef... they really cut their fingers. That's our mice. It's probably our baba mice or whatever. But it probably originated from the Arabs. But this is a fact that this is a common theme in Arab art.
Can you explain what Yehuda did with Tamar?
He found himself a Zaina. The Rambam writes. Very difficult parsha. I don't know. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Ishes. If they both agree they want to be mezanin, so it's mutter. And after matan tera, nitan tera, mischat shalom, and the Torah forbidden. Kari matan tera, the Rambam says it was mutter. So that's what they did.
So there's mutter in the highest faith?
Yes, there's a couple of them. One stand for himself, one standard.
Very difficult.
So it was precisely why you would give them up. Because, in a way, he overcame human nature. Because after a while, he would see
it's his mistakes. It's massive change. Mm-hmm. It was not for you. No, she was an Eishes Ish. Tamar was single. Eishes Ish, I didn't buy Goyim also. That's one of the Shem Mitzvahs within there. Mishkav Zach is also the Shem Mitzvahs within there. What did she say they went? Right. No, that's not an Eishes Ish. In fact, the Ramban and others have, there's a Mashor like that, that Kodim Atan Torah, they had the Mitzvah Yibum extended. It didn't only apply to the brothers, it applied to other relatives as well. It was a Mayein Mitzvah Yibum. So that's why Tamar was interested in marrying Yehuda, also to Mimikayim, their form of Yibum that they had Kodim Atan Torah.
It's literally
like
you didn't know who she was.
It's it. He asked her, the Gemara says in Saita, Batesha Batesach Einayim, he asked her if she's a Shiksa. So she said, no, she converted. Then he asked her if she's a Nida. So she says, no, she's not a Nida, she went to the mikveh. From his own. Then he asks her, are you an Eishes Ish? She says, no, I'm single. And she says, maybe your father was Mekabel Kiddushin for you. She says, my father's dead. I mean, you're saying. He said, okay, he's got to do that. That's how the marriage starts. Ateisha b'Pesach Einayim, that he asked her all the questions first. And then when it came out that she was just a plain old Jewish Zayna who went to mikveh, so Kaidim Al Tera was Muslim.
She was Shmeres Yom.
Because it didn't occur to him then. What was his motivation?
So why do people
smoke cigarettes? Why do people eat ice cream? Why do people eat food? People have typhus.
Oh, so why they want to kill? Why they want to kill Fulsmutter? I don't understand that. Why they want to kill Tamar? Fulsmutter does.
Very telling enough. Why do they want to kill? All parshas. That's why the Rosh Hashanah is the most down to earth. That he says that he had a minig in that time that he used to burn out on the foreheads of the Zaynas a simon in order to stop them. Like the scarlet letter that they have. Yeah, this week's Seder there's another din. It's very important, especially for young guys. There's a din, Er V'Yainan, die, Misabdei Shammai, because there were Mashke Zera. Torah has a din. Sounds from the Chumash, a real Issa Derais. That's what the Gemara says, that it's a real Issa Derais. If a, not only a...
Telling place where Issa is mentioned.
Yeah.
Right.
No, there's no law. There's no Mefurush Allah in the Torah. The Gemara says that we learn that from this parsha that there's Misabdei Shammayim for a person who's mashli zera, for a man who's mashli zera. Machlokes Nirishon, what the nature of the Yisr is. What's the Yisr? Masturbation. What's the nature of the Yisr of Hashkasa Zera? So Rabbeinu Tam Shita, along with the Bali Atosis, is that it's only connected with Piri Verivya. It's a special form of Bifu Piri Verivya. It's instant men, Amachuiv and Piri Verivya. So if a guy doesn't get married, or a guy gets married, doesn't want to have children, so he's Mevatel Mitzvah, that's Mevatel B'Shevi Al Tassis. He didn't have children. What if a person is mashli zera? The Kumbiyaseh, so that's like an Isser Esi of Piri Gribi. An Isser Esi of Piri Gribi. So Rabbeinu Tam claims it only applies to men and doesn't apply to women. Let's say a woman After Tashmish, we'll wash out all the Zera inside of her body. So the Rabbeinu Tam claims that since women are not Muzer, the women don't have the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis, and the male, they don't have anything to do with this essay. There's no Isser essay of Hashchos Zera for women. So the Mefarshim ask Akasha, if it only applies to men who have the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis, it doesn't apply to women. So how come it applies to Goyim? They're the Yoinim, we'll Koyim at the Torah. They were Goyim. And Tosis says in Sanhedrin that if it's Lishitosim, Tosis says, Tosis Shita is that it's only connected with Pirur Rivis. So since Goyim don't have the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis, so Goyim don't have the Avera of Hashchos Zera. They can be Mashkos all Zera they want, Tosis holds. Other Rishonim disagree in Sanhedrin. Other Rishonim hold that Hashchos Zera is a separate Isser. The Gemara Nida says, not only is it a form of Isser Esser Pirur Rivis, it's a form of Isser Gili Arayis, even though there's no female partner. It's a form of Gili Arayis, and it's a form of Shvichas Domim, that is considered as if the man who is Mashkos Zera is killing the child that could have been born from this Zera. It had a potential of causing a child to be born, so it's a form of Ritzicha. So if it's a form of Ritzicha or a form of Gilei Arayis, then it certainly should apply to Goyim, and certainly should apply to women as well. But if according to that, that's what other Rishonim hold. Machloek is whether Goyim are Muzer Hashchos Zera, whether women are Muzer Hashchos Zera. So they ask on the Mishnah Melech quotes his Kasha from the Ramban, no less Ramban and neither, it's the Kasha and Rabbeinu Tam. It says that Erviyonon died because of Hashchos Zera. And it says by the chet of the Dora Mabu, Kishus Kalbos is dark, so one medrash says that there Avera was Hashchos Zera. That's the Gemara and Daf Yud Gimel and Nida, beginning of the second paragraph Nida says, Kishus Kalbos is dark, that the Dor HaMabul had violated Avera Hashchos Zera. So the Ramban Perek Akasha, but Goyim don't have the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that Hashchos Zera is only forbidden by one who has the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis, Goyim don't have it. So he answers the kasha, Ramban answers the kasha. But that's only if the Matan Torah Goyim no longer have the mitzvah. But Kodem Matan Torah Goyim do have the mitzvah. The mitzvah was given originally to Goyim. The mitzvah of Pirur Rivis was given to Adam Arishon. The Gemara just says that since the mitzvah from the times of Matan Torah on, the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis only applies to the Jews and no longer applies to the Jews. But originally, Kodem Matan Torah did apply to the Goyim. So, and since, until the days of Matan Torah, the mitzvah of Pirur Rivis applied to Goyim as well. So, Goyim at that time were l'choladei as muzar and Hashchos Zera. Even according to Rabbeinu Tam, Shailus Bizman Azeh, after Matan Torah, but it still applies to Goyim. Rabbeinu Tam has his chiddush. He says no. That it's only an Indian of Isser Esser of Pirur Rivis. It doesn't apply to Noshim and doesn't apply to Goyim. And I, the Gemara says that it's an Indian of Ritzicha, and the Gemara says that it's an Indian of Kili Arayis. So he learns that that's an agarita. So only agarita, but that's not really the Yisera Yisra. Yeah. And the other Rishonim disagree and hold no, that when the Gemara says that it's a form of Ritzich and a form of Gilei Arayis, that's part of the main reason for this. That's the nature of the Yisra. So it applies even to Goyim, his man is there, and applies even to Nosh.
So going to a bit of time, what can
Well, the question is, the husband won't be in the kind of period.
But
for her. Rabbeinu Tam says, let's say, Rabbeinu Tam says, Shalom, of course, Hashem, whatever.
She's
what do you mean, birth control method? And there's probably no Hashchos Zera for the husband either.
Yes,
but Hashchos Zera means if the husband doesn't like, let's say the wife is pregnant anyway, the husband's Boal Ishta. Or the woman is 95 years old, and she has Tashmish. So we know she's not going to have a baby anyway. Let's say the girl is so young, it's impossible she can have a baby. There's some reason or another why she can't have a baby at this time. So there's no reason to have Tashmish with the husband. So Rabbi Tosis says, let that be Hashchos Zera. So Tosis says, that's not Hashchos Zera. When the couple have Tashmish Kedarko, it's not an Isra Hashchos Zera. Hashchos Zera means, Shaloi Boitin Shal normal Tashmish. If the husband is Moitzi Zera, not in the form of a normal Moitzi Tashmish. Let's say if the woman takes a pill, the pastor says, that's not a form of Hashchos Zera. It's just a question of Bitl Esrei of Pirur Rivis. Right, so that's a shaylah. The husband has no children yet, so he's not the kind Pirur Rivis. For much, she won't have any children. So the husband will not have the mitzvah. The women don't have the mitzvah before of Pirur Rivis. We pass it. But the men have the mitzvah. So if the guy didn't have any children yet, he's Mevat Letnit. Or even if he has already a son and a daughter. Then the Gemara says it's a mitzvah to have mitzvah with the Rabbanan. Mitzvah with the Rikabola to have more children. But it wouldn't be a form of Hashchos Zera to use a pill. It's a different question.
Ravan says that he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam.
He disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam.
He's saying that they used to have the
Kodem Adam Torah. Yeah, that's the answer on Erev Yoina, and that's the answer on the Dora Mavo. But he disagrees with the Torah Ben Tam. He holds that they're wrong. He holds that Ben Tam is wrong. He holds that the Yisrael Shkosa Zera, the Gemara says that it's a form of Ritzichen, and it's a form of Gilei Arayis. So therefore it applies even to Noshin, and even to... and even to goyim is manazeh. That's a shaila halacha l'maaseh. Sometimes the psychologists in their practice, years ago used to be, I don't know if they still do now, they used to recommend to men who are crazy that they should be mashkeh zera. Somehow they thought that that would solve, somehow it did solve a lot of their problems. So to recommend to a Jewish man to be mashkeh zera is the chanis, unless it's considered a real pikuach nefesh. A real pikuach nefesh that is going to save his life. The shaila is like, as a Jewish psychologist, a lot of recommend this to a goyish client. So that's a shaila aloha masa. Machlok is taisis and other rishonim. Whether hashkos is zera iser applies only to Jews. Because we live lacha matan Torah. The Torah has been given to us. So lacha matan Torah, the heathens no longer have the mitzvah of piri v'ribi. So the shaila aloha masa is bizman is there, where the goy mamuzer and hashkos is there. Jews are forbidden to do hashkos is there. And women is a machlok is the rabbin at tam against the other rishonim. If a woman is mashkis her own zera, let's say a woman masturbates, that's a big machlok is in taisis. Whether that's an Easter or not. One day in Taisus in Nidhi is that there's no Easter on that. So that's a different kind of Zera. It has nothing to do with the... Only a Zera Ha'ish is called Zera. Zera Ha'ish doesn't count. It's a different Zera. And other Rishonim say, based on the Pasha Pshat and the Gemara, they hold that it's also. It's a Machlokes in the Din
Derais. In general,
there is some that... Yeah. This mitzvah, this is the one. The Gemara says that's the only one, yeah. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Sanhedrin. The mitzvah shifted and it only applies to Israel and no longer applies to the goy. Right. That's how the Gemara says. No, that's all. The Gemara says that's the only one.
The Torah tells us that the 7 years of Roh began. The people in Eretz Canaan had nothing to eat. Even though Yaakov had to eat, he told his children, "Lomah Tisro." She quotes in the Medrash, "Lomah Tarat Tzem Mitznei Bnei Yishmael." Why should you let the others see that we have enough? That they should make believe, the Jews should make believe as if they also don't have enough food to eat, and they should go down to Mitzrayim. But Chana Vassman points out in one of his many essays, this is only the reason, is often the reason for persecution from the Yuma Soilon, that the Jews were always more matzliach than the Goyim. They were always smarter, they were always wealthier, they were always more matzliach in business, and they would always show it off to the Goyim, like go to Burr Park. Chandeliers hanging there.
I don't have a
beautiful front.
And the Chachamim
said that that's what Yaakov Avinu told his children, Lama Tisro, that Bnei Yisrael should be careful, Lama Tara Atzmechem Lefnei Bnei Yishmael Bnei Yisrael, that we are more matzliach than they are, we have food, we have money, we have everything, you should be a little more careful. That's why when Yeshiva started its graduate school years ago, There were two considerations. On the one hand, there was a consideration that they weren't letting Jews get into the work times, that they weren't letting Jews into good medical schools and into good law schools. So they felt, many Balabatim felt, that we're going to show them, we're going to make our own medical school, our own law school. We want to have Jewish doctors and lawyers. But on the other hand, there was a hesitation, because they thought that if they're going to make a medical school, law school, whatever, it probably will be matzliach, and then it probably will take out the eyes of the government, probably will cause... more anti-Semitism than it was. So we should always be careful of these of this consideration. So the pasuk says that when Yaakov told his children they should go to Mitzrayim, the pasuk says Vayerdu Achi Yisrael Asar Lishbor Bor Mitzrayim. And then it says Vayivoy Bnei Yisrael Lishbor B'Terech Avoy. It says the 10 brothers of Yisrael. Vayerdu Achi Yisrael Asar. Vayavoyu Bnei Yisrael means the sons of Yaakov Avinu, whose name was changed by the Malach from Yaakov to Yisrael. They came in Lishbor to purchase food, B'tech HaBoim, together with all the others. So Yerushalmi comments on this passage, Yerushalmi Megillah says, there's a Mishnah Megillah that says, a Dovash of Kedusha needs a minion. You say, Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu, you have to have a minion, Kriya Sapeva, Hazar HaSashat, so on. So How do you know you need a minyan? Because so the Mishnah said, because it says in the Chumash, "Benegdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." Benegdashti refers to the Dovah Shekedusha, and the Dovah Shekedusha should be b'toch b'nei Yisrael. How do you know what toch b'nei Yisrael means? So the Mishnah has a whole series of Yafusas. It says toch, and it says Anmosa leido harua hazois. It says Hayrami b'toch eido harua hazois. It says the word toch in connection with the word eido. And Edo is found in connection with the Meraglim, and there were 12 Meraglim, and two of them, Yeshua and Kolev said good, two of them said, 10 of them said bad. So the Edo Haroa refers to the 10 Meraglim who said bad. So since the word Edo has the connotation of 10, and the word Edo is found in connection with the word Toch, and here it says, Nidash to the Toch and Yisrael, so the word Toch has the connotation of 10. That's what the Mishnah says. That's what the Mishnah says. In Yerushalmi quotes Tanoim, have a different marker. That it says, "V'negdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael." And here it says, "V'yavoyu b'nei Yisrael lishbor b'toch ha'boim." So the word b'nei Yisrael means 10. So here is the marker that a minion is 10 people. It could be that Yerushalmi is telling us a taich in the post, because Rashi quotes from the Medrash that when they came to Mitzrayim, they entered through 10 different gates. Why? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash different reasons. One reason was that they were all tall and strong and handsome, and they were afraid that they'd get an Ayin Hara. All these 10 handsome guys coming from Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Kanan, and the Tzrayim all together, so they were afraid to get an Ayin Hara. Rashi quotes another time from the Medrash that they were looking for... They walk separate, so it won't be an Iker. So it's a handsome guy, but if all 10 guys walk together, and they know that that's one family. These are the Jews, they're all smart, they're all handsome. They're all rich. Well, they have everything, and the going will be very important. But if they blend themselves in carefully among everybody else, there's one over here, one over there, they're not so conspicuous, and maybe we'll be lucky, the going won't give us an eye.
Everybody says something's bad and happening.
Ayahara means if a person prays for your well-being, so that's a tefillah. It's a good thing. If a person prays for your tefillah, so that's a tefillah for a bad thing. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to prayers and sometimes not. It doesn't always mean that he's going to listen to people's prayers. But there's more of a chance, let's say if a person doesn't deserve any punishment at all, so you can give him all the Ayin Haras in the world, nothing will happen. Give him all the curses in the world, nothing will happen. But if a person does deserve a punishment, not everybody is a type. Some people once in a while do sin. Say a little Lashon Hara, do a little here, a little there. People do some type of thing. So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mamahir Lihipara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may punish a person more readily if people are praying for his punishment than people are not praying for his punishment. And I should comment on the Pasuk in Mishpatim that you should be careful by an almana and by yisomim to treat them nicely, because if you don't, the Pasuk says, "V'hayoki tzakei la b'shamati kechanun oni." HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to their prayers if they cry out because of the injustice that was done to them. And he may answer their prayers and he may kill you. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Why only if they pray for you for your death? Or if they don't pray for your death, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not punish you. Why if you did it now? So the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been Mahir Bipara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, is more ready to punish if people are praying for that person's punishment than if they're not praying for his punishment. So the Gemara assumes that the prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for someone's punishment need not necessarily be expressed verbally. To give an Ayahara, it's also prayer for his punishment. I see that a person is matzliach. I see the person is very handsome and very happy and very wealthy, healthy, wealthy, wise, whatever. He has all the milas, and I feel that he doesn't deserve it. That I deserve more, that other people deserve more, that it's not fair. And Hashemayim, that they should give him such a hatzlach and such a brach and such a mazel. So that's not an explicit prayer, but it's implicitly a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not running his world in a fair fashion, and he shouldn't give this guy so much. So it's implicitly a prayer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should punish him for the averus that he did. He doesn't deserve so much. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be memaher lihipara on that person if he really deserves it. If he doesn't deserve it, he needs more Leon Horrors in the world, and it won't affect him. Morris is in Sanhedrin. The guy is a tzaddik and he doesn't deserve an Einish, and Leon Horrors won't affect him. But if a person does deserve, most people do deserve onshin for things that they do. Everybody does have it. So then, if a person, someone will give an Ayin Hara, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe, not necessarily, maybe the Ma'ar the Yipara.
That kind of the same kind of same idea as Kakari Shmaya Ha'Meira with a different tefillah. Somebody prays somebody else's, he's on us an Ayin Hara, he'll still be the punishment that the guy who prays for is the punishment. He doesn't get punished with anybody's first time.
That's another thing. That's another thing. Sometimes the Gemara says if you can. The Gemara says sometimes we recommend that a person should pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to kill his enemies, like David HaMelech. Therefore, the Sefer Tehillim is David HaMelech is praying to Hashem that he should bump off all of his enemies. And so how could David HaMelech do that? So the Gemara says that it depends. If there's a Bezdin, if there is law and order in the country and you can go to the courts and straighten out your taina, so then you shouldn't pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish your enemies. But if there's no system to go to, what there is a system, but they're unable to treat with the deal with this specific case that you're involved in, and there's no one to go to, so then the only one to turn to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then the Gemara says he may be mispalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara just says that it's not right to be matriya Hashem, to bother HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to punish your enemies if you can take care of it. Derech HaTeva, why should Hashem make a miracle and intervene and make lemaila min HaTeva, make an oinish for somebody? Go to Bezman and take care of it.
Derech
HaTeva. That's what the Gemara says. Because he bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a case where he didn't have to. He could have taken care of it himself.
But it's not a fear, it's not somebody who's jealous of someone else and his father that could actually lose his mazel. So we don't say that's what he had an instance of different
men of Tefillah. That's certainly different men of Tefillah. I mean, he shouldn't have even prayed to Hashem for the other person's punishment. Certainly he'll be nifra. Certainly he'll be punished for that. The Gemara even says a greater chiddush, even if the other person is really harassing me, and he really deserves a punishment, and I pray to Hashem that he should stop him, that the other guy shouldn't bother me anymore. The Gemara still says that you're not allowed to daven to Hashem if there's another way to do it, but derech HaTeva. If you can go to the courts or get the police to stop the guy from harassing you, it's not proper to daven to Hashem. So it's interesting, Rashi quotes the Medrash on the Pasuk, why did they come, Nishbo v'terech HaBoyim, why did they blend themselves in with everybody else? So one time Rashi gives is that they were afraid of an Anhar, and the other time Rashi gives is in the Medrash. The other time the Medrash gives is that they were looking for their missing brother Yosef, that they had sold him into slavery to Mitzrayim, and they all decided to do tshuva now and to try to redeem Yosef. And they felt, they made up their minds that wherever they'll find him as a slave, they're going to pay fortunes of money to redeem him, if possible. That's why they went to 10 different entrances and they were searching the whole area. Yeah. Yeah. Did they know? They knew it. They were planning to go to Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says that they were on their way to Mitzrayim.
They were sold many times like that.
Right. But if they knew that all the people on that road were going, that was the road down to Mitzrayim.
They didn't know that. They did. They were going to Mitzrayim. They didn't know more.
Yeah. So it could be that what the Yerushalmi is saying is the following. That's not that the word B'nai Yisrael is found in connection with 10 people, and that's why it says B'nai Yisrael, so you see Dovashim Zdusha means 10. It could be the idea that Yerushalmi is implying is the following. The whole idea of a minyan is a chidish din, that there is a tziruf of people together. Yomara says in the end of Nazir, in the list of Nazir, that there's no concept of kohol by goyim. Yomara learns out from Sukkim that the din of tumah v'tare, there's no tumah by goy. Goy is not mekabel tumah. There's a din of the rabbanon that all the goyim have a din like a zav. Tosis raises that problem by the chashmonoim with the oil.
How does it go? There's a mitzvah, so goyim shita tosis. The guy is in tumah.
When he's dead, he's not a goyim. When he's dead, he's a mace. But when he's alive, he's not mekabel tumah. When a goy is alive, he's not mekabel tumah. He can't become a zav, a zava, a nidi, or leder. He's not mekabel tumah from a mace. When he's dead, he's a mace. A dead body is a mace. But the guy, while he's alive, the Gemara says, not mekabel tumah. Why? Because we have a klal. The only one who can be mekabel tumah is one who can get rid of the tumah. And since the guy can't get rid of his tumah, so he can't be mekabel tumah in the first place. How do you know a guy can't get rid of the tumah? So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, that to get rid of tumah is only a person who belongs to kohol. Only a person who's a member of an eidah. And goyim don't belong to any eidah. Goyim is not tziruf. Every goy is bifnei atzma. By B'nai Yisrael, there is a concept of tziruf hakohol. The klal is also tziruf yach. That's how the Gemara says in the last perek in Nazir. Maralmi Prag has a long essay on this in one of his books. But the Gemara says, do you still understand the Gemara? The Gemara says this klal. So the idea of a minyan, a davish v'kedusha needs asara, means that the 10 people are tziruf yach to constitute a kohol, to constitute a tzibur. We have a tzibur of klal Yisrael, then you have a tzibur of a community, a kehillah, then you have a tzibur of a minyan, you have different shiurim and tziburim. Different shurim and tziruf hakol. And all of these are only by B'nai Yisrael. So the Pasuk says that originally the brothers didn't get along and they sold Yosef quite a degree of not. My kids also don't get along. Their children don't get along, but they don't sell each other. So here they sold their brother Yosef. It's the Mamish, quite an act of not getting along. So the halacha assumes that whenever the Gemara has a klal in Sanhedrin, the kesher rishoy meinu min aminya. If you have rishoy who have a kusha yachad, combined, they join together, they join forces together, they're not considered mitzuruf yachad. Kesher rishoy meinu min aminya. There's no tziruf of rishoy together. That's basically by goyim, there's no tziruf. One medrash, we mentioned last week, one medrash says that it was that they didn't have the chiruf option. But whatever it was, the Maisa, they didn't get along together. So it was no tziruf. And even not only they didn't get along together with Yosef, it's all of them against Yosef. The Gemara has a clock in Sanhedrin. Keshev is showing Enam and Aminim, the third pair from Sanhedrin, means that since they were doing an obelus, even all the brothers amongst themselves who got along together, like the Arabs. The Arabs all get together in order to attack Israel, but there's no tziruf among the Arabs either. Whenever any goyim Jews, whenever people get together to do a bad thing, to do an evil act, so there's no tziruf. Al pi din, it's not considered a tziruf yah. So then there wasn't shaykh to have a concept of a tziruf, to have a minyan. To have a minyan at the time that people don't get along. Let's say if you have a minyan of people, 10 people in the shul, and they have no shaykhs with each other, then it's not a minyan. We assume that they always have a shaykhs. Jews always have a shaykhs with each other. Not necessarily. So, it would seem like that. The Jews always have a shaykh, and there's always a minyan. But let's say one person is in cheirim, then he's not mitzuruf to the minyan. Cheirim means that he's meruchok. He's benidui, so he's meruchok from the tzibur. People are not supposed to associate with it. If we have a minyan, you have, let's say, five guys from YP and five guys from EMC, or a chleis, five guys from one yeshiva, five guys from another yeshiva, five people from Mizrahi, five people from Agudah, or something like that. So we assume that even though they don't get along, it's not true. Basically, they do get along, they have a shaykhus. But if a person is mamish benidu of the cheirim, so now pidini doesn't get along with everybody else. Not stam hecha pimtzim. The feelings are, they don't get along, they do get along, they change their mind today, tomorrow. Al pidini don't get along. They don't get along, then there's no tziruf. So here the Torah tells us that originally the brothers didn't get along with Yosef. So not only were they not mitzuruf with Yosef, they weren't mitzuruf with each other either. Because whenever you're doing an evil act, we say Kesher Hashem Minim and Aminim. But later on when they decided to go look for their missing brother, and they had sold into slavery, so the Torah tells us, Vayerdu Achi Yosef Asora, that all 10 together were Mitzurah to make Aminim, because now they were Mitzurah Yachem. That's why it's in Vayavoy B'nai Yisrael. They have a din of Aminim now. When they're in Cheirim, if the Cheirim is
about... But if that particular set was Cheirim,
X can talk to Y. So they can't have it. It can't be mitzvah to me, you're right. That's a din of Shalom. Yeah, it has to be a cherim din, right. The question is whether the cherim is valid or just, well, just to put them in the reality, you have to find out. But if you have a valid cherim, if you don't have a valid reason for making, let's say if you put somebody in cherim illegally, so then the Gemara says it's not a valid cherim. The Gemara tells a story, the Reish Lakish had a farm. Old Reish Lakish had a farm, and he was watching his farm, and a ganav came to steal some stuff. So he started to scream at the ganav. So the ganav didn't listen. So he said, I put you in cherim. So the ganav turns around and he said, what, are you crazy? I stole a couple of dollars, I deserve cherim, I put you in cherim. So Reish Lakish went to the base medrash and he told over the story. So they told him that the cherim that you gave the ganav is not valid, because the ganav was right. Just because I stole your money and I owe you money, you have no right to put me in cherim. So they told Reish Lakish that your cherim on the ganav was not valid. The ganav's cherim on you was valid. Why? Because there's a klal. They want to put somebody else in cherim for an improper reason, deserves to be in cherim himself. Anybody the ganav put Reish Lakish in cherim. So it says they had to be matir Reish Lakish's cherim.
Anybody can put anybody else in
cherim? If there's a valid reason, even the ganav. Right, that's what Gemara says. The Ganav put Reish Lakish in cherim. And the base medrash they told him, Shalcho, Einan, Nidui, and Shalom, Habi, Nidui.
And everybody else
has to
recognize the individual.
Yeah. If there's a valid reason, the Gemara tells all the Dinam of Nidui in the third parak of my Tov. The Gemara tells the famous story that Rebbe's maid, Amsa the day Rebbe, put a guy in cherim, put a religious man in cherim. And all the Rabbanim were afraid to be matir the chair. So they waited, the guy had to wait a long time until they were matir this chair.
They have to get the Rabbanim's permission to be matir the chair?
Did they have to get what?
They have to get the permission of the Gadav?
The Gemara talks about that. When you matir the chair, do you have to have Dafke permission from the ones that put in the chair? The Gemara says you don't have to. Three people made a nidui. Someone made a nidui, a private person.
So three other people can also be matir and leading. You don't necessarily require to have the same treatment. Gemara has a machlokes, it's passed one time.
What is the use of a cherem? You go to...
No, you have to have a reason to be matir and leading. You can't be matir and leading for no good reason. Let's say a person is a mitzorah, and then the tzaras heals, and the kohen can declare that he's tohor. Let's say the tzaras didn't heal, and the kohen will declare tohor. And the psak is not valid, he's still tohor. If the tzaras healed, and then you say that he's tohor, so
it's tzaras.
So the same thing over here. If the reason why they put him in cherem no longer applies, because the fellow did tshuva, and then a later bezin will be matir the nidu. And then the nidu doesn't fall off by itself, even if he did tshuva. Then he can be matir, he can lift the nidu. But let's say he didn't do any tshuva, then no one has a right to lift the nidu. They look at it like a kohen says tohar, and the fellow who still has an egat saras, so it's not valid. The psak is not valid. So it could be that this is the idea of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says, he learned that it's not stamen, asmachten, rem is balmen, that the word b'nei Yisrael means ten. So it says, v'yivoy b'nei Yisrael, and it says, v'yer d'ach yosef asor, there were ten brothers. Could be that the Rishami is saying an idea here that the whole concept of a minion, the whole concept of a minion means a tziruf of Klali, so that by Yom HaSolim there is no tziruf. By Bnei Yisrael there is a concept of tziruf, so that tziruf only applies when they get along together. They don't get along, isn't it? So here, Bnei Yaakov, we're getting along now for the first time. For years and years they didn't get along. They sold Yosef. And now that they were interested in redeeming him and buying him back, buying him out and making him a free man, so now it says Bnei Yisrael. The psukim say later on that Yosef started up with the brothers, that he starts swearing in the name of Pharaoh that he's not going to let them go until they bring Benjamin and so on. So he keeps on saying Chay Pharaoh. Instead of saying Chay Pharaoh, he says Chay Pharaoh. So the Rambam has a famous comment. The Rambam writes, what is the difference between Chay Hashem? You never find in Tanakh Chay Hashem. You say Chay Hashem. How come we say Chay HaMelech or Chay Pharaoh instead of Chay? What's the difference? So the Rambam explains that Paro is a person, and everybody dies. So Kozman, when he dies, he used to be Paro. When he's alive, then he's Paro. So the Chayim of Paro is something that's in addition to the person. Like when Paro was a little baby, he wasn't so smart. And Paro grew up to be a big man. So also wasn't too smart. But he was smarter than he was as a baby. So his intelligence and his seichel is something in addition to his self. It's not his essence. It's something that's added on to his essence. So the chayim of an individual, the chayim of a human being, is something added on to his essence. So after the person dies, they have the dead body. The corpse is there, so that's the person. And then the chayim that he has is something in addition to him. So then you say chay paro, or you say chay adoni hamelech, or any such expression found in the Tanakh, chay means hachayim shel. He swears by the life of paro. But when you swear by chayim of Hashem, it does mean the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have life as something in addition to his essence. But his Bohu is alive. So you say Chai Hashem, that is part of his essence. And the Rambam has a long arichas on this, that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu you don't have any adjectives, any ta'orim, or any kunis, any midos that are added on to the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't believe, this is the season of the year, we don't believe in the truth. We believe Hashem Echad. That's what we put on tefillin every day. We put mezuzahs on the door. Say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. We believe only in one God. What do you mean one God? Not only that there's no Trinity, we won't believe that the one God has no body, because anything that has a body, so it has fingers and it has arms and it has legs, that's also not one. That's an achdus murkevis. It's not an achdus pshuta, as the Rambam says. It's an achdus. This is one Gemara. This is one Tanakh. But the Tanakh consists of many pages and many letters and so on. That's an achdus. That's unity. That's murkav. That's combined of different things. We believe that Hashem Echad, so the Rambam says we believe that Hashem is an Achdus Pshuta. He's one God in a simple way. Achdus Pshuta, not the composite. Not that we put a lot of things together. Yeshiva University is one institution. One institution, but it has a lot of parts to it. Many, many, many little different parts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe, is one God in the sense only one. An Achdus Pshuta, not an Achdus Mekev. We don't believe that Hashem has a Chayim added on to His essence. His essence is life. So that's why the psukim always refer to Chai Hashem. Hashem is alive. You don't swear by the life of Hashem. You swear by the essence of Hashem, which is life. That's why you have in the same pasuk you say Chai Hashem Mechei Adoni HaMelech. You find several times in Navi like that. And the Rambam explains that that's what the difference between them is.
So Chai is not part of power because it's something that's not always...
Chai means Chai himself, possessive. Chayim Shel Paro, Chay Paro. And Chay Hashem means Hashem is alive. Doesn't mean I swear by the life of Hashem. Chay Hashem doesn't mean by the life of Hashem. The Rambam has it in the Yad HaZoch. Yeah. I think it's, it could be the Shemana Prok Mos, but he has it in the Yad HaZoch. He points out this difference between Chay Hashem and Chay Paro. The first can talk about this, at the Baruch at the end of Ishtabach, where you say Chay Ho Elamim Machay Olamim.
So,
what, according to one shot, you have to, depending on what you say, Chay Acher, you have to say either Hor Ho Elamim or Oilamim. Why? In Shulchan Aruch, I think the Achronic quote of Tesis Yontif. It makes a difference. Why? Which way does it make a difference? Chai Olamim means Hashem lives forever. Chai Olamim means Hashem lives forever. Chai Olamim means that Hashem is the life of the world. It's all different shah. It's different meaning. Whether Olamim means, refers to Hashem, that Hashem is Chai Olamim, Hashem lives forever. Or Chai Olamim, He gives life to the world. It's a different meaning. But the word Olamim means the world, this universe. Olamim means Hashem lives forever. It's a different shot. That's what the Taisa Yantar says.
So Chay means like a life that is not, that it's not inclusive to Paro, right? Because
something in addition to the essence. Yes.
So what's Chay mean again?
Chay Hashem means Hashem is alive. Hashem lives.
And Chay means Chay Yishel, right?
Chay means Chay Yishel.
Chay means Hashem lives. In other words, it's inclusive. I mean, it's one thing, right?
Just means Hashem is alive. Hashem lives. It's a whole different meaning. The pasuk says that when the brothers came to Yosef, so he told his Yosef told the shamans that he should give them fleshes. And the pasuk says, "Tvoyach tevach v'hachein," that he should. Tvoyach tevach means he should shech the behema. The shamans, Yosef shamans, should shech the behema. V'hachein, and he should prepare the flesh. What is he going to shech the behema? He's going to prepare the flesh. So the Gemara says in Chulin that the Pshat in the Pasuk is not an Agarata. The Gemara learns that even from this Pasuk. The Gemara says the Pshat in the Pasuk is, but Tvach Tevach means Pralahem Beis HaShchito. You should make a Shchita Ksheira on the animal, because he knows that these people are Jews and they keep kosher. But Hachay means you should remove the Gid Anosh. But Hachay means you should prepare the food. Where do you prepare the food?
Is that Agarata?
No, it's not a garlic. The Gemara learns that dina from this. So the Gemara says that you see from the word Tvoyach Tevach V'Hachein. Tvoyach Tevach means he should shech the Shchita Ksheira. Pralahem Beis HaShchita. And V'Hachein means Tul Gid Anosha Bifnehem. You should remove the Gid Anosha as they're watching. But they'll be willing to eat the food. If you won't show them that you... He won't... Yosef tells his Shamas, Asher HaBeisa. If you won't shech the Shchita Ksheira, you won't remove the Gid Anosha in front of them, and they'll see that it's all kosher, then they won't believe you, they won't want to eat the meat. Pardon?
How would Yosef
explain Dillinger by that? He's a great scholar. He read all the books.
How did
he read the New York Times?
How did he
went to college?
How did the Shamash learn
to do shit? He was a goy. Akash. They're all goy. That's the Shaila. The Ramos suggests in the Chuvus HaRosh, in the Chuvus HaRamo, that the Shvatim are not the Mekayim mitzvahs. And the others are still not so. The Rabbis seems that they all observe the
mitzvahs.
No, that's Machlokes with the Hadadina of Bnei Yisrael of Bnei Noach. But that's what the Gemara says on this pasuk. So the Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanayim, Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon, where the Shchita Shein of Ruhuya Shma Shchito, or Lav Shma Shchito. Let's say I shech an animal, and it turns out that the animal is prey. Why is the animal trade? Let's say Hashem the Behemo Lavoid Azor. So the Shechita was a good Shechita. The only thing is Hashem Lavoid Azor becomes also Banan. He didn't pick Kubis Lavoid Azor. Or Hashem an animal, and it turns out that it's a trade book. The animal has inside, it has a naked in the intestines or naked in the lung. There's something, some kind of a sickness, some kind of a chisarin that makes the animal into a trade book. So the shechita is a good shechita. The only thing is that you're not allowed to eat it for some reason or another. Or a shechet b'Shabbos, let's say somebody shechts an animal on Shabbos, and there's one time Rabbi Yochanan Asander who holds that it's an isa deraisa to eat food that was prepared to Yisra on Shabbos. Ma'aser Shabbos is also an atar.
So if you're Sheikh of the Shabbos, the Gemara says that will also be a situation of Shechita Shein Eluyah. I shechted an animal, the Shechita was perfect, but there's a Zaitige reason, there's a side reason why you're not allowed to eat it. What's the din of Shechita Shein Eluyah? Do you say Shmo Shechita? Or do you say Lav Shmo Shechita? Is it called a Shechita, just as a side reason why you're not allowed to eat it? Or you say Lav Shmo Shechita, it's not considered a Shem Shechita Rob. Why not? Take for example. No, Tumah, we know what the din will be. You shechted the treif, it's not Matanin, we have all the clothing. Moses is going to get to Tumah Shechita Shein Eluyah Ishmo Shechita. That's a pasuk. Asher Hades Atreifa is Metahir Medei Nevelim. That we know. We know going to get to Achilo. It's also Ashechita Shein Al Shech Lavo Dizor. It's also Bahanoch. Savare, it's Lapshmo Shechita. You're not allowed to eat it. Al Shech, let's say, Maise Shabbos. Al Shech of the Shabbos. Come to Abiyach and Asambo. It's an Issa Deraisati. Al Shech, whatever. And I'll turn out Al Shech of Benimtsis Treifa. Savare, it's also Bahilo. There's an Issa Treifa. So the Gemara says, "Then again, to achila kuli amal of pligi, there's nothing to argue. It's ain't a ruya. It's also achila, so it's also there's nothing to discuss. When you get to tume kuli amal of pligi, that it is matahar medein avela. A pligi is going to get to everything in between. What's in between? Say, for example, the din is that you need kisei hadam. When you shech the chayav v'yov, you have to do kisei hadam. That's only to do a shechita. What if you do nechira? I shoot an animal dead. I have to do kisei hadam. The guy is a hunter. He said, the Nodi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to be a hunter. It's bitul tayr." But let's say a guy is not a Tamachach. Not a Yehuda says, B'nai Torah shouldn't be hunted. Let's say a guy is not a Ben Torah. He never heard of Not a Yehuda. So he goes and he's a hunter. So he shoots an animal. He shoots a deer. So there's no din of Kisei Adam when the deer is bleeding to death. The din of Kisei Adam is only if you did a Shechita Kshera. So what if I shecht a deer or a chicken or a turkey or a Chai B'yo? I shecht it in such a way, I did a Shechita, but for some kind of a reason why you're not allowed to eat it. It's a Shechita, it's Lavei Lezoret, Shechita Shabbos, you need Kisei Adam or not. Or for example, as a din of Osul Yezmano, that the Dafke applies to Behem, it doesn't apply to Chayv Yov. Kisei Adam only applies to Chayv Yov, not to Behem. The two Shechit is on the same day, if it's an Osul Yezmano. The Gemara has the Machlokes by Kisei Adam, by Osul Yezmano, by Kotshin Bachut, by Chulam Ba'azor, any case where the Halacha says that there's a din or a mitzvah that depends on Shechit, so you have this Machlokes of Shirin and the Rabbana, where the Shechit is Shein Ruyah, Shema Shechito. Lav Shema Shechita. So the Gemara asks, my time with the Reb Shimon. How does Reb Shimon know that Lav Shema Shechita? Reb Shimon the time. Shimon wrote the Zohar. It's going to be quoted by the Mishnais. He says in the Mishnais, Shechita Shein Eluyah, Lav Shema Shechita. My time with Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, because we learn it out from here. It says in the Torah, Utvacho Amo. Says in Parashat Mishpatim, Chamisha Bati Yishalom Tachas Asher, Yagot Tzom Tachas Asher. That's when the Mishnah is called a Dalad Vehe. Yes, it sometimes pay Dalad Boka Tachas Asher, Chamisha Boka Tachas Asher. So when you pay Dalad Vehe for Tvocho or Mechoros, you have the same Achlokes whether Tvocho, whether Shechita, Shein Eluyah, Shmo Shechita or not. If you shoot the animal dead, or you choke it or something, then there's no din of Tavach HaMachas. You're not Chayav Avodah, only if you make a Shechita. So what if you make a Shechita Kshera, that there's some side reason why you're not allowed to eat it. So that's the Machlokes HaTorah, but the Shechita Shein Eluyah, Shmo Shechita, and you're Chayav Avodah, Alav Shmo Shechita, you're not Chayav Avodah. So the Gemara says, that Shimon holds, that there's a Yalpus, it says in Mishpatim, Tvacho, or Mekoro, the word Tvich is used, and it says, Benegeta all the other dinim, Benegeta also there's no, and Benegeta Tavach HaMochar, Benegeta Shchut Michutz, and Tol Mazara, and everything else, they say the Shchit Hashem Yeruya is no Shchit. Parshas Zachari Mos. Pardon me?
Why don't
they
have the word
Shkita
itself?
Yeah. You, from the word itself, you can't tell.
Why? Is that a crack of Shkita? Is that called Shkita?
Right, it says the Firish, Asher Yeyach. No, that's the machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbana, where the Shkita Shein, the Ruya Lachila, is called Shma Shkita, Lach Shma Shkita. So generally, we pass like a Chachamim of Shimon, that it is Shma Shkita. With the one exception, the Gemara says, Rebbe, who made the Mishnayis, who compiled the Mishnayis, made a hachro, he made a compromise between Rav Shimon and the Rabbonim. He was machriya that benegeta, and that's how we pass in the Yeridea. Benegeta kisi adam, since the Torah says, Asher yotzu, ish ish, ben b'nei Yisrael, Asher yotzu, tzeit chaya, of Asher yeyochel. It says here, Asher yeyochel, so it has to be dafke shchita hu yelachil. Then it says, v'shof chesdama v'chisol b'ofer. Then you need kisi adam. But when you get to all the other issues of Shchita, whether Shmo Shchita or Lav, Lav Shmo Shchita, when you get to also as no, the other dinam doesn't say Asher Yeyachil, there we pass from like the Chachamim the Reb Shimon, Shchita Shein Ruya, is Shmo Shchita. Even though it's not very lucky. But this Gerov quotes in the name he used to say over every year, the name of Reb Shulei Diskin. The pasuk at the end of Parshas Miketz, and the police were chasing after the brothers of Yosef. They wanted to find out who stole the gavia. So the brother said, "What? We stole the gavia? Lo mi yedaber adoni kadvarn hoelo chalil lavadecha miasos kadover hazeh. We are honest people. We are not ganovim." And they made a kalvachem. Hein kesev Hashem atzanu mefiam tel chesed neheshivanu elachem yeretz kinoan. Madach, we found the money in our sacks of food when we brought back to Eretz Canaan, so we brought it back to Mitzrayim. So, Kal v'chomer, Beit Nigdam, Beit Adonecha, Kesel Azov, we're going to go steal Kesel Azov. It's a Kal v'chomer that we're telling the truth and you shouldn't be choshed this. But then the pasuk says that they started to investigate, and they looked and they found the Govia of Yam Tachat Ginyom. So the pasuk says, Vayichapes, they were searching, Bagod v'heichel v'akot m'kilo. They looked, in everybody's sacks, they started from the oldest brother and they finished with the youngest brother, Binyamin. So there's a medrash that says that they only looked in two people's sacks, only in Shimon and in Binyamin. It doesn't mean that they started from the oldest and they went from the oldest all the way down until the youngest, and then they finally found the youngest. They only looked on two guys. When they came from Albany to search, they only looked for two guys, only Shimon and Binyamin. Why did they only look for two guys? Why weren't they chayshed everybody else? So the Brisker used to say the name of Shulam like this thing, the Poshit, the Amgamachta Kalvachimer. They said, Madat the money that we brought back, Madat the money, we found it at Kanam, we brought it back. So we're gonna steal a Gavia. So they said, okay, I accept the Kalvachimer, but there are two people that's no Kalvachimer on. Because Binyamin wasn't here the first time, so he didn't find any money, so maybe he's a Ganek, he's not Bechestus Kashus. And Shimon was locked up in jail. He didn't let him go back there at Kanam. So they only had a search too. Taki he accepted the Kalvachimer. But the other two who had no kalvachemis, so he had a check on it. That's how Rishulei Diskin was the Rav in Brisk. That's why the Brisk Rav used to say over his bed. Yeah, Pashim Shad is Ruven. So he says no, there was only Shimon and Binyamin. But Gadol Bakot means the two that they check, the older and the younger of the two that they check. Shimon and Binyamin. Rashi quotes from the Chazal. This is one of the 10 Kalvachomers that are found in the Torah. And Kesav Hashem Atzan of the Fi Amto Chasein HaShivon Elecha is one of the 10 Kalvachomers. This Shabbos is Shabbos Tanik and Shabbos Moshe. Right. So because of the special season, we read the special Haftorah from Nevuah Zechariah. Isha Shayotzu, Tseit Chai Vyot Pamachno, Ashishim Kutno. How's it go? Shafach Hashnama Vichisau Be'ofer. Asher Yeyochel. Pasuk says Asher Yeyochel. Say Chayyof Asher Yeyochel. The Gemara says, since it says Asher Yeyochel, but that has the connotation, where's Achrimos? That has the connotation of Shechita Haruya. Daf Gedei, you say Shechita Haruya is needed. Shechita Shein Ruya, when you get to Kisei Adam, is Lashman Shechita. But when you get to all the other demons, when you get to Osvez Bino, and when you get to Tavach HaMochar, when you get to Shechita Chutz, and Tzol Mazara, and everything else, they say the Shechita Shein Ruya is Shema Shechita. Parshas Achrimos. From the word itself, you can't tell.
Why?
Because that a crack of shit is that called Shechita? Right, says the Firish, Asher Yeyochel. No, that's the machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbana, where the Shechita Shein, Ruya Lachila, is it called Shema Shechita, Lashma Shechita. So generally, we pass like a Chachamim of Shimon, that it is Shema Shechita. But the one exception, the Gemara says, Rebbe, who made the Mishnayis, who compiled the Mishnayis, made a hachro, he made a compromise between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon. He was machriya that the Negedri, and he asks him again. The Novi asks again the Malach. This is after the Haftorah. The Novi asks the Malach again, what do these two olive trees represent? So he finally tells them at the end of Perek Dalet, Vayomer. The Malach tells the Novi, Eile Shnei B'nei HaYitzahom de Maladon Kol Horta. These are the two people with Shem and Zayas who are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hom de Maladon Kol Horta. They're praying to Hashem for something. Who are the Aleph people who are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that that represents the Shnei B'nei HaYitzah are the two people who have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. That's the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, and the Malchus Beis Dovid have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. And the davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should reinstate Malchus Beis Dovid. It was the Malchus Beis Dovid, the whole Bayis Shem. In the beginning, there was no Malchus at all. The Jews had no Malchus. And then at the end, when the Hashemayim took over the government, so they were Kohanim. They were not from the Malchus Beis Dovid. The Ramban says on Chumash that they violated. They were Chassidei Elyon, the Ramban says in Parshas Vayechi, and they violated an Easter. The Easter from Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, that the Shevet HaMalchus, the staff, the Sefer of Kingdom, will always be in Shevet Yehuda, in Malchus Beis Dovid. And they took away the Malchus improperly, the Kohanim. The Chashmonaim were Kohanim, and they weren't really supposed to be Malachim. So there was no Kuhuna, there was no Malchus Beis Dovid. The other Malachim don't have a Sheikh Meshem and Amishchan. There was no Malchus Beis Dovid that had a Sheikh Meshem and Amishchan by Hashem. So these are, they hid it, right? There was no Shem and Amishchan, right? So there was no Malchus Beis Dovid, and the Kohanim Dovim also. There was no Sheikh Meshem and Amishchan. So the Pasuk says, Vayichapes, they were searching, Bagod L'Heichel V'Akot Nikilo. They looked. In everybody's sacks, they started from the oldest brother and they finished with the youngest brother, Binyamin. So there's a medrash that says that they only looked in two people's sacks, only in Shimon and in Binyamin. It doesn't mean that they started from the oldest and they went from the oldest all the way down until the youngest, and then they finally found the youngest. They only looked on two guys. When they came from Albany to search, they only looked for two guys, only in Shimon and Binyamin. Why did they only look for two guys? Why weren't they chayshed everybody else? So the Brisker used to say the name of Shul like this thing, Staf Pashit, the Amgemachta Kalvachaymer. They said, Madat the money that we brought back, Madat the money, we found it at Kanam, we brought it back, so we're going to steal a Gaviyah. So they said, okay, I accept the Kalvachaymer, but there are two people that's no Kalvachaymer on. Because Binyamin wasn't here the first time, so he didn't find any money, so maybe he's a Ganak, he's not Becheskes Kashrus. And Shimon was locked up in jail, he didn't let him go back to Eretz Kanam. So they only had a search too, Taki accepted the Kalvachaymer. But the other two who had no kalvachayim, so he had a check on it. That's how Rishon Leib Diskin was the Rav in Brisk. That's why the Brisk Rav used to stay over his bed. Yeah, Pashim Shad is Ruven. So he says no, there was only Shimon and Binyamin. But Godel Bakot means the two that they check, the older and the younger of the two that they check. Shimon and Binyamin. Rashi quotes from the Chazal. This is one of the 10 Kalvachomers that are found in the Torah. In case of a Shematan of the Fi, Amto Chasein and Hashivon Elef is one of the 10 Kalvachomers. This Shabbos is Shabbos Tanik and Shabbos Veshchet. because of the special season, we read the special Haftorah from Nevuah Zechariah. I'll just say a short comment on Nevuah Zechariah. Zechariah Novi prophesies that there's going to be a beautiful period of the Beis Hamikdash. He sees a gold menorah, and he sees that this week's Haftorah. And he sees two olive trees, one on the right side, one on the left side. Shnayim zeisim oleh echad min min ha'gulav echad mismolo. The olive trees, the olives are falling down automatically by themselves, and they're falling into a big contraption whereby they get crushed out, and the olive oil is squeezed out, and there's a big pool of olive oil, and the olive oil is flowing into the menorah all by itself, everything by itself. The menorah is a golden, beautiful, sparkling menorah. So the Novi asks the Malach HaDoiva Bo, Novi asks the Malach who's showing him this Mara HaNevua, this Chazon, Mo Eila Adoni. He doesn't understand what the Nevua represents. So the Malach says, what do you mean? Halo Yadaita Mohemet. You know what it is. He says, no, he doesn't know. So he finally tells him, Loi B'chayel V'loi B'chayel Kibu Ruchi Yomar Hashem Tzvokas. If not by man's might, but rather by the Ruach Hashem. How does that explain what the olives are? Doesn't explain the Kosh of Shem.
There's a holy Yechai for it.
But the Shalos, how does this explain the Pshat in the Nevuah? So you continue later. In the Novi, and he asks him again. The Novi asks again the Malach. This is after the Haftorah. The Novi asks the Malach again, what do these two olive trees represent? So he finally tells them at the end of Perek Dalet, Vayomer, and the Malach tells the Novi, Eile Shnei B'nei Hayitzahom, the Maladon Kol Horatzah. These are the two people with Shem and Zayas who are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maladon Kol Horatzah. They're praying to Hashem for something. Who are the olive people who are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that represents the Shnei B'nei HaYitzra, the two people have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, that's the Kohen Gadol and the Melech, and the Malchus Beis David have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and the davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should reinstate Malchus Beis David. There was no Malchus Beis David, the whole Bayi Shem. In the beginning there was no Malchus at all, the Jews had no Malchus. And then at the end, when the Hashmonaim took over the government, so they were Kohanim. They were not from the Malchus Beis David. The Ramban says not Chumash, they violated, they were Hasidei Elyon, the Ramban says in Parashas Vayechi, and they violated an Easter. The Yisra from Yaakov Avinu, that Yaakov Avinu said, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, that the Shevet HaMalchus, the staff, the scepter of kingdom, will always be in Shevet Yehuda, the Malchus Beis David, and they took away the Malchus improperly, the Kohanim, the Hashmonaim were Kohanim, and they weren't really supposed to be Malach. So there was no Kuhuna, there was no Malchus Beis David. The other Malachim don't have a Sheikh Meshem and Amishkan, there was no Malchus Beis David that had a Sheikh Meshem and Amishkan by Hashem. So these, they hid it, right? There was no Shem and Amishkan, right? So there was no Malchus Beis David, and the Kohanim Gedolim also. There was no Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha either. So the Kohanim and the Kohanim Gedolim, the Kohanim Gedolim wasn't such a gewaltige office in Bayi Sheni. The Gemara says in the first Perek in Yuma that they used to bribe the Roman governors of Yehuda in order to get the position to be the Kohen Gadol. They used to bump each other off. Sometimes there's a glory description of the rock storm on Hanukkah. Yeah, they would all kill each other out in the kind of garden with some terrible description. Anyway. So the pasuk says that the two olive trees represent the two people, the Kohen Gadol and the Malchus, so we're supposed to have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, who are davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should restore their institution of Kohen Gadol and Malchus in a nice fashion. So what does the pasuk mean over here? So the Malach is showing the Nevuah to Zechariah HaNavi, that you have these two olive trees and the olives are falling down by themselves and they're getting squeezed out by themselves and they form a pool of golden oil. And the golden oil streams automatically by itself. Nobody even has to do anything. It streams automatically by itself into this beautiful golden menorah, which is so beautiful and sparkling. This is supposed to represent, the Navi understand, this is supposed to represent the Bayi Sheni, which will be a beautiful era of Kohanim Gedolim and Malchus. So the Novi, yes, the Malach HaDoiver, but this doesn't correspond to reality. He knows that there's not going to be any Kohanim Gedolim of such a sparkling nature. There's not going to be any Malchus Beis David. What are you showing me? A Mara HaNevur. So the Malach finally tells him, Loi B'chayel V'loi B'chayel Kim B'ruchi Yomar Hashem Tzvokas. So Rav Elvler quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Zechon Rav Elvler, the Pshat perhaps is like this. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav, in Beis HaBchiro,
why is there a difference between the Kedusha that Yeshua ben Nun created in Eretz Yisrael when he conquered Eretz Yisrael? But that Kedusha was only Kedusha Shaita, but not Kedusha Losilov. Kedusha Saaretz, this man Yeshua, this man Bais Rishon, was only up until the Churban HaBayis. When the Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and he took over Eretz Yisrael, so we passed him, Achleges HaTanayim, and we passed him Aloha, like Kedusha Rishon, or all the Rishonim, everybody passed him like the Aloha Mais. But not Kedusha Losilov. There's no Kedusha Saaretz after the Churban Bais Rishon. Masheini came, the Kedusha HaMikdash, the Kedusha HaMikdash, was Kedusha Losilava. And the Kedusha Shniyah was also Kedusha Losilava. The Kedusha that Shlomo HaMelech created when he built the Beis HaMikdash, that was an everlasting Kedusha. And the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael that Ezra and Nehemiah accomplished when they had, when Esau moved back into Eretz Yisrael, that Kedusha was Kedusha Losilava. Why is there a difference? How come the Kedusha is shown on Eretz Yisrael was Batla B'Shas Korban? Right, so the Rambam explains that in Perek Vav and Beis Abchira. Since the Kedusha rested on Kibush Mochamo, on military conquest, so when the land was taken away from the Bnei Yisrael, so their Kibush was undone. So the Mekadesh of Eretz Yisrael disappeared, vanished into thin air. So in the middle of the Kedusha disappeared. So that's why the din remains, that Kedusha Rishon, the Lord Kedusha Lazilov. But the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was never premised in the first place on Kibush Mochamo. So it doesn't have to disappear. What is the Kedusha HaMikdash based on? Hashem is Mashem Shechinos and the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shechina lo zozom and mekayem. The Shechina is always there. The Shechina doesn't run away. Just because the soldiers come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to get scared. He can stay there with the soldiers shooting and bombing and everything. The Shechina lo zozom and mekayem. So that's why the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash was an everlasting Kedusha. And the Rambam says, Vadinami, the Kedusha Sa'oritz, at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, when Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael a second time, so that Kedusha was Kedusha Losilava. That's our most posting hall. Kedusha Shniya was Kedusha Loshai to be Kedusha Losilava.
And that Kedusha was what?
Because that was not like the Kibush either. They didn't conquer anything, right? That was also...
So, like right now, let's say someone would go, like, as in the Khan's boundaries are much smaller than the ones of the first space of Mekadosh.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say someone would go outside the Bible, for example, like Beit Shan, and that's the border for Ezra Nehemiah. Let's say someone would go outside Beit Shan, and he would do a Kibush Hazaka, would it have the same, would it have the Kedusha Shniyah? Or would it have the same Kedusha Rishon? I mean, Yechayev and Chumas Matzah, so do you know?
The question is, when they were Mekadosh in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, how would they Mekadosh? The Shailah is maybe Ezra had a Dina Melech. The Shailah is when they were Mekadosh in the days of Ezra Nehemiah, so it would appear from the Gemara, Yivamas and another place, that you need a Kiddush Midas, that somebody had to have Das for the Mekadosh. The question is, whose Das was needed? See the Das of Bez Nagorl HaDas, HaMelech HaDas, both. You need somebody's Haskoma. You need, the Radbaz says in Perek Aleph and Luchas Trumas, that you need Kiddush Peh. That somebody has to say an act of Kiddush. Arein Mekadosh Karakazil B'Kedusha
Sa'orah.
So who has to say that? Not many soldiers says it. Not many, any farmer says it. But you have to have some representative of Klal Yisrael. So if you need a representative, who is the one? Who's the balabos?
Ezra,
the board of directors, the board of trustees.
No, Ezra is a representative of
Knesset. Somebody has to be the balabos.
Yeah, so why can't we do like Knesset, Rav Rashi or something like that?
Maybe. But Bagoran claims that when they had the Sinai campaign, Ani Kiddashti Et Ha'atz, that's what he says. He made the declaration.
They don't have a lot of chumas and mice, which is like all in Yeshmit, they lost
it. That's what he said. He says he made the Kedusha Shniyah on that area.
The Golan also?
I don't know, I have to ask him.
You know, the Rabbi Amit once told me that he did that. That he made the Kedusha Shniyah.
You have to know, it's a question. You have to know, how were they Mekadosh in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? Who is the Balabas in the Mekadosh? If you need Kiddush Peh, you need someone's Das, so whose Das counts? And remember, who corresponds with Zman Hazeh? So whoever was the Balabas is Zman Bayis Sheni. But what was the act of Mekadosh Zayin? No. Because the Gemara says that there were sections in Eretz Yisrael where in the beginning of Bayis Sheni where the Jews did live, the Hinichon, and they left them intentionally not to be Mekadosh them, right, in order that there should be no Kedusha Shniyah. So what do you mean Hinichon? Why? But they inhabited those sections. So you see from the Gemara, even if you inhabit this section, it doesn't get Kedusha automatically. You need Kedusha, you need some act of Mekadosh Zayin B'Miskavin. So the Radvaz in Perek Aleph from Shulman says you need Kiddush Peh. You have to be Mekadosh B'Fest. You need Kiddush Peh, or the other Rishonim say you need Machshava, intention, Kavanah Mekadosh. So who? You have to have some person who should be declared as the Balabas.
either the Melech or the Rosh HaMemshalah or the Bez Nagol or the Chief Rabbi or whoever. Somebody has to be the Baal HaBayit. So Rav Chaim said, perhaps this is Pshat in the Pasuk, like the Rambam said, Loi b'chayu v'loi b'choyach. That the Kiddusha that they're creating now in the building, the second base of Kiddush, is unlike the Kibush Oretz Nizman Yoshua. And Yeshua conquered Eretz Yisrael and he created the Kedusha rested on Chayil and Koya. Was based on Kibush Muhammad. So that's why when Nebuchadnezzar came and he took away Eretz Yisrael from the Jews, so the Kedusha of Yeshua was Nizbatla. Because since it was rested, since it was based on Kibush, so it was broken out of Kibush from the Goyim. And the Navi Zechariah is told now, Loi b'chayil v'loi b'choyach, what you're doing now, in the beginning of Kufas Bai Sheni, is not b'chayil, not b'choyach. They didn't have any military power at all at that time. Ki b'ruchi, this is just, the Shechina is going to be mash, HaKadosh Baruch is being mash v'shechina, so Allah mokam hazeh. So therefore, this Kedusha will be an everlasting one. And therefore, the Mara HaNavua that the Navi saw, with the Kuhuna G'doylo, and the Malachos, and the beautiful Menorah, such a beautiful golden period, of Beis HaMikdosh doesn't refer to the Bayis Sheni, rather refers to the Bayis HaShlishi. But what kind of an achama was that for the Navi Zechari? Navi says before, in the beginning of Zechari, and Chagai says the same, in the Sefer Ezra it says, that the people who remembered the Bayis Rishon were crying when they built the Bayis Sheni, because they saw that this is Ka'ayin DNA, this didn't compare at all. It was Chasa Chamisha Dvorim. The Pasuk says in Chagai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them B'nevuah, they should build a Beis HaMikdosh for Eretz Abob Ikovdo. I desire a Beis HaMikdosh and I'll be honored by the Beis HaMikdash that you will build for me. The Yikovdo, it will be a covet for me. So why is the word the Yikovdo chasa hey? It's missing hey, the answer. The Gemara says in the first parak in Yume, Elu chamisha dvarim shahoyu chaserim b'bayis sheni. This represents the five things that were missing in the period of the Bayis Sheni. So Zechariah knew that Bayis Sheni was going to be a very empty period. It's going to be shvacha kunudonu, shvacha no malchus. No malchus is double at all. The Beis HaMikdash is going to be chasa chamisha dvarim from the beginning to the end. So he didn't understand the Mara HaNevuah that's depicting such a golden, beautiful period of Kulav Dola, Malchus, and Beis HaMikdosh, and HaKrobos, HaKrobonis, and Minoim. Everything happens automatically. It doesn't correspond to reality. So the Malach told him, no, this is really a picture of Bayis HaShlishi. So what kind of an Echom is it for me if I'm making Bayis Sheni? So the Malach tells him, no, that the Bayis Sheni is a Haschol of the Bayis HaShlishi. That whereas the Bayis Rishon was not a Haschol of Bayis HaSheni, when the Bayis HaRishon was destroyed, that was the end of the period. Because the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was Loi Kitchel Asi Lavoi, but the Kedusha Shniyah is unlike Kedusha Rishon. This is Loi B'chayel V'loi B'choyach. Now you're making a Kedusha on Eretz Yisrael. It's not based on military power. It's based on Ruchi. It's based on Ruach Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashu Shchinasa. So therefore, when there will be a destruction of the Medina in the year 70, that will not end the Kedusha. The Kedusha will continue to remain and be Kitchel Asi Lavoi. And the Bayis HaShlishi will be a Hemshech in the Bayis HaSheni. So this is a Haskolah. And that's why the Pasuk continues to say, that after the Malach told him that Binyan Bayis Sheni is a Haskolah for the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi, so he shouldn't despair, this is just a Haskolah. So it says, and they took out the cornerstone and they founded the Beis HaMikdosh. What it means perhaps to say is, so Rav Soloveitchik, Shlik the Rav Adonan and Rav Chaim's word, one more Knech. He said, maybe the Pasuk means to say that the whole Bayis Sheni doesn't just mean that they laid the cornerstone for the Bayis Sheni. It means the whole Bayis Sheni was the cornerstone for the Bayis HaShlishi. But Rav Chaim explained that that's why the Malach was showing him this Nevuah, that he should know that this is the Haskalah for the Bayis HaShlishi. The Bayis Sheni that they're making, although it's Shvach, is considered the Haskalah for the Bayis HaShlishi.
So what does the Chayyim realize? Is it after the second time he told him? Because the Chayyim asked twice, right?
He said he didn't understand. Yeah, the Malach told him, he said he still doesn't understand what it was telling him.
Because he didn't understand it, because he knew
didn't
that
understand
it was
what they're supposed to represent.
Then what does
Malach say?
When's the second time?
No, he doesn't tell him the same. The second time he says, Elish Nebenei HaYitzar, that the two Zeis and the two olive trees on the right and on the left of the pool of golden oil represent the two Bnei HaYitzar, the two people, the Kohen Gadol and the Melech and the Malchus Bnei David, who are Mashiach and B'Shem and HaMishcha, who are davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should restore their positions. He should bring back the Kohen Gadol and the Malchus. And I'll not be restored in the Bayis Sheni. It will be restored in the Bayis HaShlishi. And the Mara HaNevuah that he was shown was a Mara HaNevuah for the Bayis HaShlishi. So what does God do with him? Because his binyan Bayis Sheni, that this Chai was involved in, was the Haskalah for the Bayis HaShlishi.
But when Zachariah was in the beginning, right? From the beginning, before they even went up.
Chai was there when they built the Bayis Sheni also. He was one of the three Nevi'im, Chagai's Chaim with the three Nevi'im, who authorized the building together.
So it's fine.
No, they weren't. Ezra, the Gemara says, is Malachi. Same guy. Nehemiah was not a Novi. Nehemiah was not a Novi. The three Nevi'im who came with them were Haggai, Zecharia, Malachi, Zu, Ezra. That's the same person. The Gemara knows that because Ezra, in the Sefer Ezra, he always speaks about my two buddies over here, the two prophets, Haggai, Zecharia. And he never mentions Malachi. The Gemara says that the three Nevi'im, Haggai, Zecharia, Malachi, were simultaneous. They all lived at the same time. And the world needed to authorize the binyan by a sheikh. So that's how the Gemara understands that Ezra is Lu Malachi, it's the same person.
What can you say the temple was going on the second Beis HaMikdash? Because the second Beis HaMikdash was supposed to have a kedusha even greater than the first. But they messed it up because they didn't come back as much as the...
Well, the Maisa didn't have.
Right, so you can say, what can you say the temple was going on the second Beis HaMikdash?
No, but the Maisa didn't have. So how can we refer to the second Beis HaMikdash? Didn't have a... There was nothing better in the second than in the first. That's what the Novi was told, that the Mar HaNavu that he was shown really refers to the third bais. And the second bais that they were engaged in building right now was Haskola and an Evan Harosha for the third bais HaMikdash.
The Lomachat all the way at the end of the Shnei.
No, no, that's Tem Pesukim before. The Novi, the Malach thought the Novi would understand, and then he asks again, he still doesn't understand, so then he continues to fill in the Pshat. He tells him, no, the Shnei B'nai had a
What does that have to do with? So
that
has to do with Hanukkah?
What has to do with Hanukkah? That's a long story. Maybe we'll talk about that next time. Usually I say it every year, but these guys already heard it 10 times.
Who?
So. No, you never heard it? Stay in the Shia next year. I'll tell you over next time. In the beginning of Parashat Vayichi, the Torah tells us that Yaakov appointed Menashe and Ephraim as two different shvatim. And Yaakov refers back to the Habtocha that HaKadosh Baruch had given him previously. Parashas Vayishlach. Before Binyamin was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, Go Yul Kahal Goyim Yeh Mimeko, Melochem Michal Otzecha Yetzei. What does it mean, Go Yul Kahal Goyim Yeh Mimeko? Who's going to be born? Binyamin. Binyamin was born. How come he called Binyamin a Go Yul Kahal Goyim? The Gemara in Harias derives from this, the Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet from the Yudai Shifte Kohol is considered a Kohol. In one sense, the whole Kohol soul is one Kohol. In another sense, every Shevet is considered an individual Kohol. But his daughter gave a hafkocha to Yaakov Avinu before Binyamin was born that he's going to have his wife, one of his wives is going to give birth to a kohol. That means another shevet is going to be born. But he was told, goy or kahal goy, there's going to be two more shvatim. So his wife only had one baby, and they didn't have any more children. They just had Binyamin. And then he had no more shvatim. So he understood from the hafkocha that HaKadosh Baruch had given him that one of the shvatim is going to be broken up into two. That's what Rashi explained. And then he felt that he had the right to determine who should be given this matana, which one of the shvatim should be broken up. So Yaakov says, when I came back from Chutz L'Eretz Eretz Yisrael, Yom Re'lai, Hashem told me, Unisaticha l'kalamim, that you're going to have another two shvatim. He said, you only had one, who was Binyamin. So who's the Yadman? The Yator. Shnei Balecha, Hanolodim L'cha B'Eretz Mitzrayim, Kirumim V'Shem and Yehiyuli. Your two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, should be considered two different shvatim. So Yaakov now, Rashi explains all this. Yaakov is now using this Haftacha that Hashem gave him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that he's going to have more than one Shevet born. Goyi Kalgoyi. So not only was Binyamin born, the Shevet Yosef was broken up into two Shvatim, namely Menashe and Ephraim. What's the significance of having two Shvatim? L'may Nafkamina. So one Nafkamina is that, of course, for the Golem. Right? One Nafkamina is for the Golem. That was the Hayru Ashur. When they traveled in the Midbar, each Shevet had a different dagger. What other nafkamina is the Doros? Not the Rasha. What nafkamina is the Doros? So the Doros, there was a nafkamina for Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says. For Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, they got two Chalokim. Exactly what does that mean? There's a famous Machlekes Rashi in the Ramban Taka and this week said, had a learn Pshat in the Gemara in Yesh Nechon. Rashi says, Rashi says that every person got the same shear. Every individual got the same shear. So it doesn't really matter whether Menashe Ephraim would be one Shevet or two Shvatim. The Maaseh, they're going to get the same share anyway. That's how Rashi holds. So when we say that it's Chaptan Afkemina, that Reuven and Shimon are two Shvatim, the Halukas Oros, what's the significance of that, that the two Shvatim Halukas Oros means like this? If they would have been one Shevet, they would get one big Chelik, so that every person would get 3 acres, let's say. Every Jew in Palestine gets 3 acres, let's say. The Gemara has a whole sugya shnef. How do you figure out when they first came to Eretz Yisrael? How do they divide Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara has three shikas and tanaim. Because there's this theory between two different Gemara, two different sugya mechumash. One pasuk seems to say that the Yotze Mitzrayim is alcohol. And one pasuk seems to say the Farish, not seems to say, the Farish, that the Bay Horat is alcohol. So let's say there were the Shishim Reba people who left Mitzrayim, 600,000 people. So you divide Eretz Yisrael into 600,000 portions to the Yotze Mitzrayim. And then their descendants get it Birusha from their forefathers. So let's say one man had 10 children, one man had let's say one man had 10 grandchildren, the other man only had one grandchild. The rest of the family didn't have any children with them. So when they come to Eretz Yisrael, the one guy who had the 10 grandchildren are going to get tiny shares. The one man who had one grandchild is going to get a big share, because if you hold the Yotze Mitzrayim Mischal Kohor, it's one sheet, the Yotze Mitzrayim Mischal Kohor. The other sheet is the Bay Horet Mischal Kohor. Let's say there were Shishim Reba people at the time of Knesset Aretz, there were probably more. Let's say there were Shishim Reba people in between the age of 20 and 60 at the time of Knesset Aretz. So then you divide Eretz Yisrael into the Shishim Reba portions and they get a chen. And then the Gemara patches it up, it doesn't mean exactly like that, with a slight calculation. Then the third time it says in the Gemara that Lezeh Lezen is Chalkoetz, because there's a steer between the two Pesukim, and every Tana has a problem, what do you do with the other person? The Gemara says the third Tana, Rabbi Yosher, Rabbi Yosher doesn't have the original Machloikas, but the Yotze Mitzrayim is Chalkoetz. Or the Bay Horat in Schalkohor. And the third time it says, Rabbi Lezman Yankee says, Lezev Lezen is Schalkohor. It's only divided into two times Shishim Ribu Chalok. So whoever was from Yotze Mitzrayim got 1 acre, and if he's not alive anymore, so his descendants get his Yerusha, and whoever was from Bay Horat gets his share. So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is, if you wouldn't know any more Gemara, Pashup Shat is like this, Rashi says on Chumash, that every person got an equal share. It doesn't mean the Maisa, that every person when they came to Israel between the age of 20 and 60, got equal shares. If he got the Yerusha from his grandfather, he said the Yotze Mitzrayim is Chalkohor. So the man who had 10 grandchildren is going to get the tiny, his grandchildren is going to get 1/10 the size of the share of the other guy whose grandfather only had one grandchild. So he's going to get 10 times bigger share if you hold the Yotze Mitzrayim. But basically, Rashi says on Chumash, on this week's segment, the Pashup Shah, that every person got an equal share depending on which people you're talking about, either Yotze Mitzrayim or the Bay Horat. The Chalukah was everything even. So when you say that Shimon, when you say that every Shevet is separate, and the Menashe Ephraim are two distinct Shvatim for Chalukas Aretz, they mean a distinct Shvatim. So it means like this, the whole Shevet Yehuda gets together in one spot. You don't have one guy gets in the north, one guy gets in the south, one guy gets in Eibar Yarbi, they get all over the place. No, you don't draw lots for every person individually. You don't have Shishim Ribo lots, and Shishim Ribo people, and every person draws a lot, and then he gets a chelik wherever, haphazard. No, all the Shvatim get together. Shevet Zvulun gets together, Shevet Yisachar gets together, Shevet Binyamin gets together. So now, Menashe Ephraim, if they would have been considered one big Shevet, so Shevet Yosef will draw lots all together. Let's say, how many, what would be the population of Shevet Yosef all together, Menashe Ephraim hyphenated? Let's say if they would have been one Shevet. Let's say each one had, 10,000. Let's say, for argument's sake, you have to look in the Chumash. Let's say each one, Menashe Ephraim, each one had 10,000. So together they had 20,000. So divide. So you get 20,000 lots in one section of Eretz Yisrael, and then you draw lots for the 20,000. So now the Torah says, no, Yaakov Avinu was kaveh that Ephraim and Menashe are two distinct shvatim. So they break it up into two different. There's one chelik that's going to have 10,000 shares, and they divide that among the lots of the people from that shevet. And then shevet Ephraim is going to have a different, and shevet Menashe is going to have a different. They're not going to be together. That's how Rashi learns on Chumash that on this week's Sedrit Tapir, it's an important Rashi, that the shvatim. Rashi learns pshat in that pasuk that according to the size of the shevet, they get a larger share in Eretz Yisrael. That the shevet that has more members in it is obviously going to get a bigger chelik of Eretz Yisrael. The shevet that's tiny gets a smaller share because either Liyotze Mitzrayim is Chalko Horetz, or the Bay Horetz is Chalko Horetz, or Lozev Lozen is Chalko Horetz. Whichever sheet in Tanam you adopt among the three sheets, but everybody gets the same share. Everybody among the people who. Amongst whom you divide, get an equal share. That's how Rashi says. The Ramban Achumish disagrees with this Rashi, and the Rashbam on the Gemara Bar Basis says also enough in the Gemara against Rashi. The Ramban and the Rashbam quote the same Gemara. That it's not true. At first they divided Eretz Yisrael into 12 equal shares. And every Shevet got the same sign. The Shevet Reuven, Shevet Shimon, Shevet Yisachar, Shevet Ephraim, Shevet Menashe, the two different Shvatim, each Shevet got the same size Shevet. Now one Shevet is going to be 5,000 people, one Shevet is going to be 20,000 people. Tough luck with 5,000 guys. Get four times as big a Chevet as the 20,000 people. Whatever you hold the Yetzim inside, while the Bay Horez, every Shevet got the same, got an equal size share. It's always divided into 12 Shevet. That's the Shitas Rov HaPoskim against this Rashi. That's the Machlokes, Rashi and the other Shevet. What does Rashi do with the Gemara? So the Mefarshim explain away the Gemara. The Rashi has a different shot. But when the Gemara, like we just said before, when the Gemara says that there is a soul is first divided amongst the Shvatim, it doesn't mean that every Shevet got an equal share. It means that every Shevet got together. They didn't draw lots for everybody, all Shishim Rigal people together. So one guy from Shevet Yehuda will get in the north, and one guy from Shevet Yehuda will get in the south, and one will get in Eva Yarden. First they figured out how many people from Shevet Yehuda, they figured out how many people are entitled to draw lots. Then they figured out how much karka they had, according to Rashi. And then they figured out how much per Shevet, depending on how many people there were in every Shevet. And then they saw to it that all the people in that Shevet got the contiguous, they got one share together. That's how Rashi interprets the Gemara. According to Rashi, everybody basically, all the people who were drawing lots got the same size shares. And the Ramban and all the Rishonim. So the difference is that they get all in one, if the Ephraim and Manasseh would have been treated as one Shevet, there would have been one big section in Eretz Yisrael. And then a guy from Shevet Ephraim could get a Chelek over there, another guy from Shevet Ephraim could get a Chelek over there, far apart from each other. Because all Shevet Yosef is one. Like Shevet Binyamin is one, Shevet Yehuda is one.
Ben Kach Mishpachos were sitting together, even within the Shvatim.
Okay.
So even Saul, even if they were one Shevet, still within one set. If Yosef had two sons, and one said it was distinctly the side of the family belonging to Menashe, and the other side of the family distinctly belonging to
Ephraim. But still, it wouldn't be on the map a different section for Ephraim and Menashe. It would be one big section for Yosef. Well, and people put Yet in a different place.
Mashiach came. Where they were.
Yeah. Were they all near each other? Ephraim near each other? Menashe near each other? Oh no, the whole Shevet Yosef was one, and there could be anywhere within that section on the map. And according to the Ramban and the Rashbam and the Poshet Pshat and Bava Basra and the Yesh Lechem, it is not so. That every Shevet got 1/12 of Eretz Yisrael divided into 12 shares. And then the Shevet that had 5,000 population, they got big shares, and the Shevet that had 20,000, they got tiny shares. They lost out.
The Ramban has two now. Nafkamina of there are two different areas, and Nafkamina is how much area they got to deal with. But Rashi only has one.
Right.
Area he doesn't have it.
Right. So the Briski Rav has a famous comment on Chumash. He says the pasuk says later in Dvarim that when the Pchor was taken away from Reuven was the Pchor, and it was given to Yosef. So it says that Yosef was Pchor Shoro Hadalo. Yaakov Avinu gave the Pchor to Yosef. What does it say? Pchor Shoro Hadalo. So he says it sounds a raya to Rashi that the Pchor was only for Kavod Baal Hadar. Hadar means that it's only a kibbutz. According to the Ramban, the Chor happened after me in dollars and cents. A normal Chor gets Pishnaim, he gets twice as much as any other brother. Another brother gets $1,000, the Chor gets $2,000. That's not a shadow of covet. That's not some covet Balmer. That's money. $1,000 more than the other guy's money, dollars and cents. According to the Ramban, the fact that Ephraim and Menashe were two Shvat means that they got twice as much karka. Eretz Yisrael was divided into 12 Chalokim, the Shevet Levi didn't get. So if there would have been, including Shevet Levi, would have been 12 Chalokim. 12 Shvatim, so Shevet Levi doesn't get, so he would have divided Eretz Yisrael into 11 shares. And Ephraim and Menashe together would have gotten one share. Now that Ephraim and Menashe are distinct Shvatim, so you divide Eretz Yisrael into 12 shares, so they get more. So they get more karka. So Shevet Yosef is getting twice as much, twice as big a chelik in Eretz Yisrael as any other brother. So the Bechorah that was taken away from Reuven and given to Yosef was not Tamar Kibbutz. There was a lot of money. There were quite a few $1 million worth of real estate over there. They got a big chunk of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Avola said that the pasuk that says in Dvarim, the end of Dvarim, Chor Shor Hadalo, that the Bechor that was given to Yosef is a Hadar, a Kibbutz. So it sounds like Rashi, there's Tamar Kibbutz Be'alma. They count the Chelik together, but it doesn't really make any difference in dollars and cents.
What page is looking at Yeshua? It's the Yeshua where it said all the things to see what Mishan is.
You can't tell, even if you know on the map where it is, it's still hard to tell, because they had to assess which property was more valuable than which. It could be that one Shevet would get five times as big an area as another, because it got the... Yeah, because it wasn't as fertile as the other. So the Gemara says they had to be Malam Adomin, which karka is equal to which karka. So it's still hard to tell. If you really know what their soul is like, Bizman Chalukas HaAretz, then you can figure out whether...
Right.
Okay. How does the Rambam pasuk l'ras ha'kanach
l'asam ha'kanach l'asam? The Rashbam on Yesh Nechma says, Fakef, that pasuk is a raya against this Rashi. That pasuk is a raya to the Rambam. L'rav means l'rav, if there were more people b'zman yitzis mitzrayim and fewer people now, then tarbanach l'asam. Let's say there were three brothers b'shas yitzis mitzrayim, and now there's only one grandson from all the three brothers, then these people get a bigger chelik. If they say from that pasuk is gofaker. It doesn't mean at all what Rashi said. The Gemara in Yesh Nechon says a different shat l'rav. It doesn't mean the shevet that has a larger population gets more karaka. That's a different pasuk that sounds like it says that. That's not this pshat over here. The Gemara interprets l'rav tabanach l'asam means if a specific shevet had more people, the Eretz Mitzrayim, and now the boy horrors, they have very few, then tabanach l'asam, every individual member of that shevet is going to get a bigger chelik. Lamad, if there were few people, there was one guy b'shas yitzias m'sami, he has 25 grandchildren, then tamid nachlosim. A completely different shah. Nothing to do with the way Rashi interprets it. So let's see, l'may nafkimina, what's the significance halacha l'maisa, the fact that Yosef is given the Korah, that his two sons were considered two distinct shvatim. So one nafkimina is for the golem. That's a hirah shor. That's not a din l'dor. It's a hirah shor, stam l'kibudim. Another nafkamin is for Chalukas Horus L'Shvatim, which is a machloik is between the Ramban and Rashi, and this week said, but that's an nafkamin in Dalas and Sen, that's how the Ramban holds and Rav HaRishon hold like that. Rashi has this unique sheet against all the other Rishonim. He interprets it more apparently differently in Yesh Nechma, that just for Kibbut B'Yalma, just for Chalukas Horus, that Menashe got together and Ephraim got together. But it doesn't really mean that Shevet Yosef got twice as much valuable karka, twice as much as everybody else. Everybody got it, according to how many people that were supposed to be drawing lots, either Liyetz Mitzrayim or Lador, or Lezev, whatever it is. What is another significant nafkamina la'alocha about the fact that there are two different shvatim? So the other nafkamina is the Mishnah and Harias, that the Gemara says, Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, every Shevet is considered, the whole Kali sold together is called Kohol, and every Shevet is called a Kohol. My nafkamina, so the Gemara says, for the din of Par Helam Dovashal Tzibur, that if the Bezna Gadol should be Yerushalayim, was matter something, they passed in a certain aveira as mutka. And then Rav HaTzibah goes ahead and violates that aveira of the Shoigeg because they followed the Pesach of the Bez Nagol, that it's mutka. They ate a certain kind of candy, think because they had a hashgoch of the Rabbanut, and they thought that it was close. The only time they got that it was really trait. The Rabbanus and Rashi later on changes their mind, they decide it's really trait, and it's an Issa Kores, and they caused everybody to violate an aveira as Shiej before. So later on, if the Rav HaTzibah should Eretz Yisrael violated the aveira, so the din is that the Bez Nagol has to bring. So the Tanoim have a machlekes, and we pass from Halacha that every shevet has to bring. You have to bring 12, you have to bring 13 shevet tavos. So you have to bring different korbanos for each and every shevet. The shevet echad ikri kol. The bezna of every shevet has to bring a palam davoshot tzibur for that shevet. Every shevet has to bring a separate one. Let's say the bezna agol made the psak in error, but the din is that the klali saw needs the kapon. Yeah, and even if they're not, that doesn't matter. There's sort of a Sanhedrin Dola for every Shevet. So that's an Afkamina Ladina Mamish. That's an Afkamina Ladina. That when you bring a Pahal and Dovashal Tzibur, every member, every Shevet has to bring their own Pahal and Dovashal Tzibur. And then every Shevet had its own. Right. That's the Pasuk at the beginning of Shoftim says, Shoftim Shatid Lecho, Lecho Sharecho, Lishva Techo. What does it mean? Yeah. So what does it mean, Lishvatecha? Shavtim Shetim Lecha B'chol Sherech, there should be a Bezdin in every city. Then it says, Asher Shamakech Nozim Lecha Lishvatecha. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that there should be a Sanhedrin Lecha Shevet V'Shevet. What does that mean? So one could learn Pshat. Rashi learns Pshat on the Gemara Sanhedrin, the end of the first Perek, that if you have a city that's divided amongst two Shvatim, so although the Pasuk says B'chol Sherech, every city should have a Sanhedrin, but if you have one city that's divided amongst two Shvatim, so you have to have two Sanhedrins in that city, one for one Shevet and one for the other Shevet. And the Ramban HaChumash learns a different shot. The first pasuk in Shoftim means that in addition to the Batidinim Shebuchal Yevihir, you have to have, of course, that Bezna Gomel Shabbi Yerushalayim, that's a pasuk later in Shoftim. Kipam Yuchadov Al Amish, but we come to Al Yisrael Al Amokom, Ashiv HaShem Akech Abba means in Yerushalayim. If I haven't changed, so too Bnei Yaakov, Mochi Nisim will never be wiped out. Jewish people never be wiped out. So the Haftocha to Klal Yisrael was that they'll never be wiped out. So that Haftocha was not only to Kahal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael as a whole, the whole Klal Yisrael. Since Shevet Echad Ikri Kol, every Shevet is considered a separate, every Shevet is called a Klal Yisrael Bifnei Atzma, miniature Klal Yisrael. So
So therefore, the Biskrav quotes the Ravid in his Bi'uran Vayikron, Chumash Vayikro. The Ravid has a Bi'ur.